This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now, here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly.
When you're on holiday, you can't find the words.
Well, it must be time for another edition of the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. The website, home, placetobenation.com. Big things upcoming here with the Kevin Kelly Show. And we'll have some announcements about that. Plus, we're going to have a whole lot of fun here over the next couple of hours. Our special guest is very special indeed. B. Brian Blair is a legendary name of professional wrestling. And depending on where you are in your fandom, you either remember him as a killer bee, big participant in the WrestleMania eras, the early days, or if you go back as far as I do, you remember a great name of championship wrestling from Florida past. If you're even older than me, you even look back to amateur wrestling success in the state of Florida in the early 70s. That's all part of who B. Brian Blair is, plus a great guy, political career as well. And now he's the president of Cauliflower Alley Club. I know he's a fan of Ring of Honor, so we'll talk to B. Brian Blair here in a little while. We'll talk about Cauliflower Alley Club, get his thoughts of the past, the future, the present, and more. I'm sure he's just a tremendous gentleman, and I look forward to having him on. Another in the slew of great guests that we've had here on the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation. It's a very busy time in professional wrestling right now as we are on the road to WrestleMania, and it's always a very, very good time within the industry. Ring of Honor has had some great success as of late, easy for me to say. We had just a great, great crowd in Philadelphia, which JR and the boys were there for. We started to see those television shows this past week. They look fantastic. And then we also have big events upcoming, our 13th anniversary coming up on March the 1st. And we're really looking forward to that return to pay-per-view. Sunday, March the 1st, 13th anniversary from Ring of Honor Wrestling. More matches announced this week at ROHWrestling.com. The title match is going to be terrific. We'll talk more about, we'll start to break down those matches, I think, on our next episode here of the Kevin Kelly Show. But it's just a good time, and it's a lot of fun to be doing what we're doing here on the Place to Be Nation, and I'm very proud to be a part of it. So, JR, hello. Thank you for the opportunity you've given me here, this wonderful microphone and this podcasting portal to be able to speak to the masses. How are you?
Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being a friend. Hey,
travel up the road and back again.
It's not always easy dealing with me, is it?
No, you
get happy, positive Kevin. Sometimes you get.
I don't like January, Kevin. That's the only Kevin I really don't like. January Kevin's the worst Kevin.
I agree with that.
Other than that, you're okay.
It's the time of year. It's the darkness. It's seasonal affective disorder and everything. I'm very much a victim of that. But
January Kevin, it's like the weather of the storm, Kevin. If you get through January, we're good.
We're all good.
We're there.
And here we are. Now we've turned the calendar to February and all is well. So if folks were just tuning in for the first time, they've stumbled upon the Kevin Kelly
yes.
Show. They don't even know how they've gotten
there, though.
Why don't you enlighten the folks and tell them how they can find the Kevin Kelly Show each and every episode?
Yeah, we got a lot of ways. So first off, you can visit placetobenation.com. You can click the big banner, the Kevin Kelly Show, or even the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side will take you there as well. You can subscribe to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes. You can visit Stitcher.com, subscribe to the Place to Be podcast. You can download the Place to Be Nation podcast app at placetobe.podbean.com/mobile. Also, you can find a new special Ring of Honor only edition at ROHWrestling.com. Also, hope to be having soon in the coming weeks a specific iTunes feed for just this program as well. So we'll ask you to hop over there. This is going to be exclusive content included with that version, so you'll get one-off interviews, special clips of stuff Kevin does for Ring of Honor, and everything else on that feed. So we're gonna have a special Kevin Kelly Show feed directly on iTunes. You'll get this podcast there, and you'll get other extras as well. Also, be sure to like our brand new Facebook page as well if you haven't yet. If you're a fan of the show, fan of Ring of Honor, fan of Kevin, You can go to facebook.com/KevinKellyShowPTBN, and you can like that page. You get all the newest updates of what's going on. You can find out who the guests are before anyone else does. Coming up on the show, you can give us your feedback. You can submit questions for the guests and everything else. So be sure to like that page as well if you're a fan of the show.
So there's a lot of ways to get to the show. Is that what you're telling me?
A lot of ways.
A lot of ways. All right. Without further ado, JR, is our guest on the line?
Yeah, I think he's ready to come hot out of the box.
All right. Be Brian Blair. Go ahead. Welcome to the show.
Talking to JR a couple of days ago, and he told me he was not feeling real energetic. And I said, JR, hold on. I'm going to overnight you something that just gets me right. And he says, what's that? And I said, you just hold on, and when you see a package from B. Brian Blair, the Killer Bee, you just open it and follow the directions. And the directions said, this honey is from Hazel's Honey Hut. And all you got to do is take this bottle, open the lid, turn it upside down, and chug it on down. And I guarantee you that your toes are going to start tapping, your jaws are going to start jacking, and you're going to be ready for some back cracking and some more jaw jacking. And that's what I told JR. So we're ready now for you, Kevin Kelly.
Well, that's awesome. And we are off to the races and recording with B. Brian Blair here on the Kevin Kelly Show. You never know what you're going to get when you dial the phone and you get a guest like this. Now, again, you look at a buttoned up suit and tie guy like B. Brian Blair, the president of the Cauliflower Alley Club. And you know, you're thinking, here's a man that's run for political office, and you never know what you're going to get. So we're off to the races here and off to a great start. But boy, it sounds like you're doing fantastic. And I just wanted to start by congratulating you for all the success that you've had away from the ring. You had a fantastic career, but you've had an equally great life outside the ring, and that you deserve great accolades for.
You know, I appreciate that, Kevin, and that's why I get so psyched up, especially when I get to have be a guest on somebody's show like yours, where so many of my social media nights understand and know what your show is. I mean, the placetobenation.com, I guess that's a hot spot. And, you know, yeah, I've done a lot of things. You know, I've done a lot of things. I was just, as a matter of fact, God, I can't get Kelly off my mind. I was just at Comic Con in Toronto, and, you know, I had the Queen Bee with me, and we were just talking about all kind of things. And I had Ric Flair right next to me, on the right of me, and Demolition. We were just talking about a lot of things. But, you know, we did talk about the fact that the Cauliflower Alley Club is what's hot right now. It's where all the wrestlers congregate once a year. It's where they join the club that helps the most people, the most wrestlers, the most people that have ever made you entertained, who have ever entertained you, that have somehow fallen on bad times, whether it's the diabetes, whether it's, you know, a divorce or whatever the bad thing in somebody's life that happens to be a professional wrestler, whatever happens to them, they can always fall back on the Cauliflower Alley Club. And if you go to caulifloweralleyclub.org, you can see what it's all about, because in April, it's our 50th reunion. And yes, that's a great thing, Kevin. But, and like you said, Kevin, it's about the fact that, yeah, I've been around the world and back again. And I don't know how I got there, because I'm a humble boy from a divorced home that got busted with food stamps at Egypt Lake Elementary School. But, you know, I persevered and kept on going, and somehow I became a professional wrestler, and I love it. And I love all the fans. I tell you, without the fans, you couldn't be anything, and they're just so exciting. And I took that energy and I morphed it into business. I said, I want to be a businessman. I said, Vince McMahon at WrestleMania 5 said, Vince, this ain't going right. And somehow I just see that you're not going to give us the belts. And, you know, Brunzy's been hanging on. I know he needs the money, and he's a great guy, and he wants to do what he wants to do. And I got to go, though. And so I did, and I started Gold's Gyms in Hillsborough County, and I built up four of them and sold them for millions of dollars. That's public record. And then, you know, I went on and became the county commissioner, got over 500,000 votes, which is more than 7 different governors, because Hillsborough County's larger than 7 other states. But right now, the biggest thing in my mind is talking to you, Kevin Kelly. So I'm honored to be on your show. And please, I'm so sorry that I'm just going. I'm going. I got that Hazel's honey in me, and I'm just jaw-jacking.
Well, I want to learn more about this before the interview's over, but I want to start by saying, long before, I was an announcer for Ring of Honor, or the host of this podcast, or had spent 7 years in WWE, the same company that you worked for. I was a fan growing up watching Championship Wrestling from Florida, and the three guys that were my favorite, I lived over in the East Coast in Stewart. And when my three favorite wrestlers were Mike Graham, Steve Kern, and Brian Blair. And you three guys, to me, all kind of came up in the same generation. And you all went through different paths, but you all seem to have that kind of that Hillsborough County, that Tampa area, the football, the roots, the real athletic background, all trained by Hero in some shape, form, or fashion. And you guys were Florida guys, and you came up through the ranks. And the highest of heights of seeing you at WrestleMania, I was like, that's a Florida guy. That's somebody that I know and I like. Talk about your roots and where you came up from, and you mentioned a little bit about it and break it in back in those days.
Yeah, I mean, that was very difficult in Stewart, Florida. I love Stewart. That was a small spot show, and I can't believe Kevin Kelly is from Stewart, Florida, but everybody's
right.
From somewhere, and somewhere everybody was born. And I was born in Gary, Indiana. A lot of people don't know that, but in Gary, Indiana, the only two white guys were me and Michael Jackson. And when I was about 10 years old, I moved to Florida, and I remember getting caught with food stamps at the USAVE grocery store when my mom would finally let me go to the grocery store, and she gave me these coupons, and I didn't know what they were. I was 10 years old, and she told me to cross Sly Avenue real, real easy, and I was tired of the powdered eggs, the powdered milk, the raisins and dates, whatever they sent us, and it was just, I wanted some meat, some protein. And so finally, she gave me those coupons, and she said, you'll get a voucher back, just make sure you get this, that, and the other. But to make a long story short, I was going through that line, and I got caught with those food stamps. So when I went to Egypt Lake Elementary School the following day, my mama always dropped me off about 300 yards from the school so I could kiss her goodbye, because I didn't want anybody to see me kiss my mother. You had to be cool.
That's right. I got
out of the car, kissed my mom, walked to school, and all of a sudden there was a congregation of people. I can just picture it right now, Kevin. And it was green spray painted. As I walked up there, I looked, and all of a sudden, there's Blair. Oh, there's Blair. I can't talk. And I looked at what I saw. I read what I saw. And I couldn't believe it. It just made me cry like a baby. So I just kind of walked away. And as soon as I was out of sight, I ran home, and I started, I was crying and crying, and Mr. Agliano was a sixth grade. I was in fifth grade. Mr. Agliano was a sixth grade teacher. He came, and he was a big wrestling fan. He gave me this big cheery pep talk and told me, hey, you may be a wrestler someday, a football player, but he really kind of emphasized the wrestling part of it. And lo and behold, I started going to people like people that you mentioned, Mike Graham, Steve Kern, Eddie Graham, Hiro Matsuda. They started going to my amateur matches. I had won the first junior high school countywide heavyweight championship. I won at the grand total of 202 pounds. And when you grow up and you're in eighth grade, I guess I was seventh, eighth, and ninth. I was actually in eighth grade. And there's some big guys that there, and I was very fortunate. I remember beating a guy named Ronald Reddick was his name. And so I just kept on wrestling. I listened to my coach, to my teacher, and he was like a coach to me. And, I had great coaches as mentors, and, lo and behold, I got to be on the Kevin Kelly show tonight.
it's been a pinnacle of success up until this moment right here.
The one thing, be hard on yourself. You're a star, brother. You are a star. I'm honest with you right now. I'm shooting right now.
That's it. We're shooting.
Kevin, I've had more social media come to me that said, I heard you were going to be on the Kevin Kelly show. So you are obviously listened to by a lot more people than you're giving yourself credit.
Well, you know why? That's because we get good guests like you. We've had Diamond. We've had guys like DDP has been on. We've had AJ Styles. We've had all kinds of big stars on this show, and now here you are. And we're looking at B. Brian Blair. Like, I was watching WrestleMania 3 on the network yesterday, and the WWE Network has been great, I think, because it gives fans the opportunity to go back and relive some memories that they had. Like, I started the first WrestleMania that I was a part of in the company was WrestleMania 13, and I was there through WrestleMania 18. And so you were part of the earlier days of that. But looking back at WrestleMania 3 and all those thousands of people there, you had to be wondering then, my gosh, can it get any better than this? Here we are in front of a reported 93,000 people, and we're getting, you know, we're on right before Hogan and Andre. It that was, you know, some heady times, I'm sure, from a kid who was, you know, caught with food stamps in you know, outside of Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, you have to just, as you told that story, that same story I wish was told to every kid in the whole world that felt like he was or couldn't or he can't or he maybe or he needs something or it's not me. You know, the kid with the inferiority complex. Somehow you can be what you want to be if you put your heart and soul into it. Yeah, there's a lot of politics, you know, in wrestling. There's a lot of hard work that goes into wrestling. I remember growing up, you know, 2 days in a row when I first started with Hiro Matsuda, and the third day after I rolled out of the ring and he was waiting for me to throw up, he just lifted my head up with his bare foot, and he says, "What's the matter, boy? You know, puke today." And I said, "Mr. Matsuda, I haven't eaten since the last time I threw up, sir." And he just kind of turned around, and I could tell he was probably, I was imagining he was smirking a little bit. That's probably what I would do. But from that day on, you know, he kind of took it a little easier on me. So, you know, Hulk Hogan came, Paul Orndorff was already there. And during the 3 years I was playing football at the University of Louisville, first St. Leo, then Louisville, and doing some wrestling and stuff. And oh, by the way, I don't know if you guys are into the, Luthez, George Tragos, Dan Gable Museum in Iowa, but I just got inducted into their Hall of Fame.
Congratulations. So, that's a great honor.
Yeah, it really is. To me, I'm very humbled. I am so very humbled because, you know, you got to be do a lot for your community, which I've always strived to do. You have to be a good wrestler in as far as amateur goes, as far as professional goes. So it's a really coveted honor, and you know, I'm excited about that. And as a matter of fact, I'll be there. Beth Phoenix is being honored as well with the George Tragos Award, I believe. So I get to see Dan Gable, and he gives out the trophies, and it's all kind of an exciting thing. But you know, Kevin, it's just like you. You know, I bet you came from some kind of difficult situations in your life. It's just like JR in the box. You know, we all came from somewhere, and somewhere in your life and somewhere in JR's life and somewhere in everybody that has done anything with their life, they've said, you know, I'm not going to be a drug addict. I'm not going to be a follower. I'm going to be a leader. And when you're a leader, you know, good things happen, because when you believe, you achieve. And when you achieve, you receive. And I would tell all the kids I coach that, and I feel so good that I've been able to give back to so many people. And gosh darn, I can't believe I'm on the Kevin Kelly Show. I mean, this is awesome.
Hey, what about this country, though? We're in some trying times right now, and I don't get into politics very much here on the show, but I think you and I are probably more politically aligned than folks might know, and I lean much more towards the conservative side of things than some others I've had on this program. But where are we in terms of taking this country back? And a lot of people say that we have a rather lawless president right now who's thrown the Constitution out the window. What say you, B. Brian Blair? How do we fix America?
Well, B. Brian Blair says, number one, you are right on target. And I'm not saying this because my dad is my best friend. I love my dad, and he's a union man and a diehard Democrat, but we can go have a good time together and talk about politics and not want to grab each other's throats. And I wouldn't do that anyway to my dad. Even after all the difficult years we had, we've become the greatest of friends over the last 20 years. And, you know, even he has said, as a Democrat, he said, you know, the last time we went and played poker together at the Hard Rock, and this was probably 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and he finally said, you know, I don't know where this president's taking us, but I don't like it. And I said, well, Dad, I've been telling you that for I don't know how many years now, and you've been, you know, kind of like, I've been almost your bastard son because, you know, I'm a Republican. And he said, oh, you know, he just hugged me and gave me a big kiss, and he said, I love you, son, you're great, and he just made me laugh. And, you know, my dad's 80-something, and for him to do that, it made me great. But for him to say that, Kevin, made me say, yes, we are financing our children and our grandchildren's future. This president has raised the debt more than every president before him. You know, how are we going to pay off this massive debt? I mean, it's going to take a lot of people that go to Washington and they're honest, and that's hard to find. You know, I was honest in politics, and that's one of the reasons, you know, when I was a countywide commissioner, and I was the chair I'm getting kind of tight here now thinking about all this different stuff. But for one of the largest boards in Hillsborough County, and then I ran for Congress, and I ran for State House 60, and our congressional side for state politics, and I came 1,000 votes short, and the guy I ran against got caught taking an illegal $40,000 bribe 1 week before the election, but he still gets to be in that place. And it makes me wonder about not only the people that are in the place, but the systems that we have in place, because there's a lot of things that are broken. We need to send people to Washington that are going to undo some of the laws that we have. We should have a Keystone Pipeline right now. There's so many different things that I could go on and on about it as far as politics. And believe me, if you feel different, all your audience out there, if they feel different, they make it some not so nice mail on social media now after I've said what I've said, but it's the truth and it comes from my heart, because I bleed for your children just like I bleed for my own.
And I know you mentioned something about your dad and you guys having maybe political differences, but it sounded like there were some old wounds that needed to be put away far beyond political differences. I bet it feels good to have dad back on, you know, back on the side right now where you guys are getting along, right?
Oh, amen. Amen, Kevin. I mean, that's fabulous. It's just wonderful. I mean, never forsake your parents. They're the best. And you wouldn't be here without them. So, you know, a lot of people say negative things about the parents, but you got to suck it up sometimes and remember that they said whatever they said or did whatever they did out of love. And whether it was right or wrong, you've got to accept.
So take me back to the early days, Championship Wrestling from Florida, up and down the roads. Who were you, you know, some of the guys you rode with in the car, what would be a typical road trip, you know, the loop, West Palm, Monday, Tuesday, Tampa, Wednesday, Miami, Thursday could be Lakeland, Friday could be Jacksonville, you know, Saturday could be Lakeland, right? And then,
very good.
Sunday, Orlando at the Eddie Graham.
Yeah, that's right. And sometimes double shots on Sunday. We do the highlights on Ton at 1 o'clock. not right up and down. You know, Eddie was real kayfabe, right up and down. You know, he just wanted the baby faces to be with the baby faces. And I'll tell you a couple quick stories that happened. You know, I hung out a lot with Steve Kern, and actually Steve used to let me in and carry his bag up so I could get into the matches, because I didn't have any money to get into the matches. So he had read stories about me in the newspaper. And he had actually come to my amateur wrestling, him and Mike and Eddie and him. So he said, hey, just meet me there, and whatever. I did what he said, and he let me up. And so that kind of gave us a friendship before I even got into the business. But now, there's some jokes I could tell you started at the beginning of the business that were just absolutely hilarious. But let me step forward since you asked the question on the road, Kevin. Steve and I are getting ready to do a show from Japan on February 17th. It'll be filmed here in Tampa, and Muta and Nishimura Hattori, Masao Hattori, the referee, they'll all be here.
So yeah, yeah.
We're going to tell Japanese stories, and it's kind of like a dream where Muta came back. And anyway, that's something that's coming up. So Steve Kern is, I was getting at Steve Kern. Steve's a great guy, and I really admire him a lot. You know, so these were the older guys that I looked up to, and Steve and Mike, and obviously Eddie and Buddy Colt, who got in a plane crash 40
right.
years ago.
40 years ago, or 50 40 years,
years
ago.
Ago.
Wait, 40 years ago, 75, yeah. That's right. Golly. Just a few days ago.
Yeah, I was babysitting his kids when it happened, and his wife Darlene just started freaking out, and I didn't know what happened. And so when she came in, she didn't even pay me, which was okay, because I was just scared that I didn't know what happened, and she was screaming about Buddy, and it concerned me. But I ran home because, you know, that's how I was making some money right then between sports. I babysit his two daughters, and they were just, you know, nice kids, and I was just glad to get whatever he paid me, and it's like all the boys were trying to help me. But in 3 years of going through Matsuda's dungeon, the only three people that stayed with professional wrestling, and some of the guys did like Dan Spivey and Razor Ramon, they quit and left. I think the next person to make it was my mind's going through. He played football here, and Lex Luger.
Luger, yeah.
A lot of problems. He finally made it through here, but the three of us made it. Orndorff and Hogan, and so Hogan and I had already worked about, for probably 8 weeks, and you wrestle every day, like you just said. And Hogan and I are in a match, and I rode with the Briscoes, Jack Briscoe and Gerald Briscoe, and he rode with Pat Patterson and Ivan Koloff and some of the other heels that were here, and he was the Super Destroyer, and we knew we were going to wrestle each other, so we were going to have a 15-minute match. The Briscoes told us we were going to have a 15-minute match, and they wanted us to go practice it so we could have a heck of a match. Well, most of the matches while I was going through, when I was wrestling all the time, even up until, 3 months ago, my last match was, you knew the finish, you knew a high spot or two, and that was it. But we got together and we had some high spots for the finish, and we're going along, and all of a sudden I whisper at Terry, I said, hey, Terry, look, we're having such a good match. Everybody's out looking at it. He goes, looks around and goes, wow, let's keep it up. This is awesome. So we're waiting to hear the time, because it's a 15-minute time limit. All of a sudden we hear 10 minutes gone, so we did a couple of spots, and we're waiting. And then we hear 13 minutes gone, and boy, we started into it. Bing, da-da-boom, bada-boom, false finish, bah-bah, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1, kick out. And all of a sudden we hear 15 minutes gone, 15 minutes to go. And
oh, no.
Our jaws dropped. Yeah, they changed the time limit on us, and they were all out there laughing so hard. So that was probably one of the worst matches of both of our careers. And we just did what we were told to do. Whenever you get lost, grab a hold. So we were locked in a hold for the next 15 minutes. That's just, they did so many terrible things. I was in the car with the Briscoes one time, and we had gone to West Palm Beach. I was in the business for 1 week exactly. And Pat Patterson had given me one of his jackets. It was all frilly. You know, we all know Pat's gay, and he's a great guy. But you kind of like to pull ribs on, you know, some of those heterosexual guys that weren't just too, wasn't real funny, but it was fun. And anyway, he gave me his jacket. I love Pat. And I fell asleep in the back of Gerald's Lincoln Versailles on the way to West Palm Beach. And all of a sudden, they called me, well, Pete, they said, hey, Pete, get up, hurry, get, we're running late, we're still 10 minutes away, and it's 7 o'clock, and the match has started at 7. Well, I jump up, they said, get dressed. I got dressed in the car, and all ready to go, and I don't know, Kevin, if you remember West Palm Beach, all the people at the auditorium, they all hung out over the top, and they were there an hour early so they could see all their stars, you know, all their wrestling fans, you know, come and wave at him and hopefully get an autograph or whatever. Well, I just jumped out of the car and ran totally dressed, and Jack's hollering up, wait, and he throws the jacket at me. He goes, put it on now, and I put the jacket on now, and I run into the building, and it's empty. They had moved the clock backwards. So I said, man, I'm going to do so. This is terrible. I can't believe they're doing these bad things to me. It started out at the Sportatorium when they did this, that, and the other, and now this happens, and I can't believe I'm doing this. I just want to be a good wrestler. Anyway, on the way back, I'm with Jack and Gerald again in the Lincoln Versailles in the small car, and I'm in the back seat, and all of a sudden we're about 70 miles from Yeehaw Junction. And Pat Patterson,
which is kind of the halfway point between east and west. If you're going from one side of the state to the other, if you're going from West Palm to Tampa, Yeehaw Junction is about halfway.
Oh man, that's great, Kevin. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So Patterson's got one of the town cars, a brand new gold colored town car. He's driving. His boyfriend Louis Dondero is in the car. Frankie Mephisto's sitting in the front seat, but Pat had rolled his moonroof backwards, and Louis and Don Darrow, they pass us, are beeping on the horn, they're on the horn, and Louis's mooning us. So we all start laughing, but I said, God, gosh, man, these guys they won't ever stop, do they? And Jack goes, oh, I tell you what, why don't we do this? We'll pass them up like we're peeing. You jump in the back of the trunk, pull your pants down once they pass us, and there's not going to be anybody at Yeehaw Junction at this time of night. We'll make sure they're right behind us, and you moon the heck out of them. I said, wow, that's a great idea. And Gerald said, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do it. And so we pulled over a few miles, you know, whatever distance later, and I go ahead and I'm peeing, but they passed us up, and I jump in the trunk, pull my pants down to my ankles, and get ready to get to Yeehaw Junction to pay the toll. So it's where they paid the toll. I'm sorry, I want the audience to get lost here. And we pulled over before that, and they said, wait a minute, now they got to pee. They must be peeing or something. Hold on, can you breathe? I can breathe. Yeah, are you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. Well, hold on, they got to pee or something. I don't know what's on, and they're talking loud, and I can hear them, and all of a sudden, they said, okay, they're gone. They're right. Well, we're going to pass them up now. Feels okay, yeah. And I get right to tell. I can just picture them. They're right behind us now. They're right behind us now. Gerald Briscoe says real loud, they're right behind us. They're right behind us. Beep. Jack Briscoe says, get ready. And I'm ready. And they get up to the Yeehaw Junction toll booth. And when they did, all of a sudden, I hear the horn go, ha, and they pop the trunk, and I spread my booty with both my hands, and I shook my booty, so I mooned him really good, but I turned around after, for some reason, he wouldn't let go. Gerald Briscoe had that horn go, ha, and I turned around, and they had backed up into the Stuckey's restaurant picture window. And this place is full of people. I mean, it's packed. And that picture, I turn around and I don't know what to do. How did this happen? How did I get here? What do I do? I turn around and I look and this guy sees me that was pumping gas. He drops his gas pump. He's laughing so hard. And there's Pat Patterson and the Gold Lincoln over in the corner. And they're laughing at me. So now I'm thinking, what do I do? What do I do? So now I see this black guy tapping this gray-haired old lady on the shoulder. And they're pointing and they're laughing at me. And I went to get out of the trunk and they got more than moons. And so I go to run to get into the back seat and they took off and I'm trying to pull my pants up and I'm waddling there at Yeehaw Junction and Stucky's restaurant parking lot. And they took off and left me there.
Terrible. Oh, what an amazing rib. That's an amazing rib. Oh, that's a great story. And to anybody who's ever, you know, traveled in Florida or grew up in Florida, everybody knows Yeehaw Junction, and everybody has been to that Stucky's. So that is one of the most well-known landmarks, which you now have made even more famous, B. Brian Blair. So nicely done. Good job. More stories like this, I'm sure, with you and all the other members of the Cauliflower Alley Club will be spun, tales will be told, and good stories and times will be had. For the next meeting, the reunion, of course, April 13th through the 15th, and go to caulifloweralleyclub.org for more information. Brian, what's this bee pollen stuff, this honey stuff? What is this stuff you're on? Because you're too, listen, you're born in 1957, and you shouldn't be having all this energy this late at night. You know, it sounds too good to be true. It's too good to be true. What's the deal?
Well, it's true. I do. I love my honey, and I get it from Hazel's Honey Hut right down 301. And I just when I need a little energy, I just shove a little down, and I get some honey, which is one of the greatest quick energies that you can. But we get that special orange blossom honey, and Hazel's got it down pat. So anyway. I don't know if I've got it done. I don't know about the energy, but Kevin Kelly, man, it is an honor to be on your show. I hope you can come to Cauliflower Alley Club sometime. We have helped so many people that you have watched that we cannot divulge the names that we have helped. And our goal is to double our membership. It's only $25 a year. And to make sure that Cauliflower Alley Club becomes a household name amongst wrestlers and wrestling fans, because we're one of the only groups that allows both, and we'll have about 1,000 people there, and we're already 65% sold out.
Well, that's a fantastic, that's a great, it's a great cause, it's a great organization. My pal Ron Hutchinson, of course, is involved, and I love seeing Ron whenever we go to Toronto with Ring of Honor. And I look forward to coming out. I won't be able to make this year's Cauliflower Alley Club because I've got a work thing that I've got to do that weekend. I've actually got a trade show I've got to go to. But I promise that I will attend the 2016 Cauliflower Alley Club. I make that promise to you right here, right now. So I look forward to it.
That's great. And I got one of the biggest surprises coming up in 2016 that CAC or anybody else has ever seen. And I love Ron Hutchinson, and two thumbs up for ROH. I love ROH. They're great. I know time's running thin, so you're the man in the box there. I know we got to cut out, but it's your job. I'll throw it back to you, and just with deep, deep gratitude for allowing me to be on your show, Kevin.
All right. You're the man, Brian. Thank you so much. That's B. Brian Blair, everybody. And make sure you check him out. Go to caulifloweralleyclub.org to learn more about the Cauliflower Alley Club and make sure you learn about that great organization. Brian, thanks for joining us. We'll take a break here on the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation.
Lethal for your people. Burn therapy, chemo. Sheepo, see you through the peephole. In the crime lab, counting dinos, cut and dissect.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling, we talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad,
Do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
All right, we're back and more now on the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. And, you know, a good time for topic of the day because there is some topical news coming out of reports from Stamford, Connecticut. Maybe it was all of the snow that he was shoveling, you know, there in Greenwich. But perhaps Vince McMahon has had a change of heart.
Oh, my back!
You know, what does a guy like Vince McMahon do with all that snow? Where does the snow go,
man? I use it to freeze my heart and my sperm.
Well, you know, listen, the big news today is that, you know, apparently at Fastlane, they're going to come up with some way, I don't know how.
Some schniggity schmaz.
To get Daniel Bryan in the mix for the main event at WrestleMania.
Now, this isn't, like, confirmed. This is Meltzer's saying, basically, well, today the word is that Vince is leaning towards going against what he said initially, which is what he said was, we're not doing another triple threat. I don't want to do it again. But they're saying he's going against that now, and now he's leaning towards doing the triple threat at Mania. So that would mean we get some kind of, you know, mess in a couple weeks at Fastlane, whether it's Brock interfering and ending the match in a no, you know, no contest, or we get a double pin. Some kind of shenanigans are going to go down, it seems.
It's a, well, okay, so at the end of the day, so you got two ways of looking at this.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, is it a good thing? Because they're going to wind up, apparently, giving the people what they want. Or is it a bad thing because they are taking direct feedback from the public and changing their minds? I see both sides. Like, I'm saying, okay, they recognize this is a bad decision, but shouldn't they have recognized this is a bad decision beforehand? And did it ever need to get to this? Was this the plan all along? I
sure,
can't see
but,
how this...
I mean, is it... All right, so they didn't see it right away and they're stupid, but wouldn't that make them dumber if they continue to ignore it and just keep forging ahead even though it's clearly wrong? So sure, they were stupid to begin with, but I think it's like last year, it's a bit of a credit to them that they're going to say, okay, something they haven't really wanted to do in the past, and that is... you know, that is to get away from what they're going, their plans, because they're actually listening to their fans. Isn't that what we keep asking them to do, is listen to the fans, listen to the fans, listen to the fans? And now they're doing it, and we're saying, well, fuck you, you're listening to the fans, so you're stupid. It just seems kind of...
I'm not saying that. I'm just, yeah. I'm looking at it like, could we have done this without tearing down the fourth wall?
Oh, I'm sure, of course. But they gotta make everything difficult before they make it easy.
Right. Why not just make it easy? But we say that so many times in business. You know, when we deal with customer service that we don't like, why can't they just make it so the process is streamlined and simplified? Why can't the right people be in charge? How many times have, you know, do we hear people talk about corporate America and those same types of sentiments come out? If they only would just do things my way, well, now there's an opportunity to do that. So does this mean they're going to go all in with Brian? They're going to give him the ball and let him run with it? Because that ultimately is what people want.
No,
people don't want to. They don't want to be teased anymore.
Yeah, this is what I think they will. Well, they should do if they really want to salvage, because they got to salvage Reigns, right? That's, to me, that's 1A of this thing, is how to fix it. So that's why I'm not completely against them fixing this and saying that they're stupid for going against what they think, because the way they're doing it right now is going to ruin one of the guys that they think is going to be like a blue chip prospect. So you pump the gas just a little bit. You have a schmoz here. We get the three way at Mania, and Brian makes Reigns tap out to win the title. All right, so Brock isn't beat. So Brian's a champion. The next night on Raw, Reigns comes out. Reigns shakes his hand at Mania, walks off. The next night, Reigns snaps. And he says, you know, I've had enough. You took my title shot. You took my Royal Rumble win. You made it useless, all because of these stupid fans. They all cheer you, and they pissed on me. For what? And then Reigns, Brian comes out, tries to talk some sense to him. Reigns beats the crap out of him. Paul Heyman comes out. He's laughing. He's the new manager of Reigns. They walk off. Seth Rollins comes in from the crowd, covers Daniel Bryan as your new world champion. So now you got all the heat on him as well, and Reigns are screwing Bryan out of the, you know, out of the title. And I don't think the fans get really angry, because I think something like that makes logical sense. And I think they like Rollins, and if you position it right and you do a summer filled of, you know, Bryan and Orton and Ambrose battling Reigns and Rollins and Sheamus or whoever else you want to turn heel and put him with Heyman, I think that's a good series of feuds. And then maybe you build towards Bryan getting his belt back at SummerSlam or something like that. So I think that's how you kind of salvage Reigns. You give him the Rock treatment, you turn him heel, give him a good mouthpiece. You give Bryan a title reign, or you at least get him back in the title picture. You have Rollins cash in where it makes sense. Like, I think it answers or fixes a lot of the problems they've caused themselves coming out of the Rumble.
It you're asking a lot.
Not really. That's all very simple. That's not like crazy booking.
You're asking a lot of changes from a company that hasn't done a lot of changes with the main event picture.
Well, they
flip-flop everybody from one week to the next. Big Show's 43 turns. Ironically enough, now he's 43 years old, so it's the perfect number for it.
But I think they've already started the Reigns heel turn in some of these promos. Like, I don't think it's that far-fetched.
I see where you're going. I'm coming up with the hesitancy.
Yeah.
Where's the resistance going to be from Vince? Why would he not make this logical conclusion? Why would he not take your proposal, which I'm sure is something like this, because you're a logical, smart guy. And I'm sure that somebody in that position in the WWE is also equally logical and smart and could come up with, if not almost the exact same thing, something very, very close. So why hasn't Vince done it so far? Why has Vince been hesitant to make the changes that have needed to be made? Why did it only get to this step now? And why do we think he's going to listen anything more than, well, I gave the people what they wanted. They want Bryan in the main event. There you go.
Yeah.
And the rest of it could be just, you know, the plan going forward, now just Bryan as the third wheel in this match.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it's definitely possible, unless someone got to him. I don't know if you saw that poll they put on the website. You know, who do you want to go to Mania, Bryan or Reigns? And Bryan won like 90 to 10% or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I guess it's one of those things where I don't know why they put him in it if he's not going to go there. Like, why? I mean, this is, you've already pissed on everyone at the Rumble, and now you're really going to do it. They can't be that ignorant. I mean, you're really going to do this again? I know we just sat here 3 weeks ago and said they can't be stupid.
I know.
Brian's not going to win the Rumble.
We said it a year ago.
I know.
We said it three
weeks
ago.
Well, they did put him in, though. They did put him in a year ago, and we said they can't be this stupid. Remember, we called it right here. We said they were going to have him beat Triple H and go to Mania and all this stuff.
But this was all of the, you know, how stupid are they?
Right.
And then everything would have been fine were it not for Bryan getting hurt. We wouldn't be having this discussion now. It was the same thing when I was there with Steve Austin. Everything that happened with Steve was supposed to happen the year before, but it didn't happen because of injury. Okay, fine. So Steve was hurt, and then you go forward, you string it along for one more year. Steve's back. Go ahead with the plan. Turn everything. Oh, one big difference, though. Rock is leaving as well. So now what you did was you turned your top guy and you lost your 1A guy. And in the span of 24 hours, you went from having two of the most popular superstars in the world being loved and adored by the fans to one being gone and one being hated. At least that was the idea. So sometimes you do things for a reason. Well, this was the idea a year ago, so we're just going to go ahead and do it now. I think they could do the same thing with Bryan. I just hope that it, you know, now that we haven't muddied the water so much, that it somehow doesn't get lost. Because he had the perfect moment to capitalize on it, and everything was done right. WrestleMania moment was his. I don't know if Lightning could strike twice. I don't know if they're going to have cold feet. I just don't trust it. I won't trust it until we're done with WrestleMania, and then we go, okay, see, they've grown a brain. I hope they do, because I think it's the right thing. If the WWE is red hot, then all of wrestling is red hot. And that's what we want, is a big, strong, robust industry that many people can prosper in. It's not a matter of hate one way or the other. We want them to be successful, because we're deep down, we're all fans, and me as a person who has a financial stake in all of this, I want to see the business as hot as possible so I can make more money.
Well, I mean, there is rumor now that they're trying to taper down Cena into that kind of Undertaker, you know, 1B kind of guy, where he was still around all the time, still in feuds, but he's not the main. He's not the guy you throw the title on when you're panicking. He's not the guy who defaults to being champion. I think it sounds like they're trying to move past that, which is why part of me thinks this could happen. Because they thought Reigns would be the guy that could take, you know, no pun intended, the Reigns over from Cena. And, I mean, they have to be realizing he's just not ready. Now, if you want to tell me he's going to turn heel and take the belt and he's going to have Heyman and fend off Bryan, then maybe you salvage it. But if you're setting him up to be your next face and you're just going straight ahead and he's going to defeat Brock Lesnar by pinfall at WrestleMania, which would be really stupid, I just think they're sabotaging themselves. I think they're sabotaging Roman Reigns, who's going to get booed out of the building. I think you're ruining his run. I think any chance you have of him to be a star, you're really taking a chance of blowing up by doing that.
Well, the idea being that we can hopefully we can have everything that everybody wants, and that's the perfect world scenario. If you can get, you can make the fans happy, and you can somehow do. There's so many different things that you could do with Roman Reigns. Is you could have him shake Bryan's hand, and then you could have him befriend Bryan, and you rebuild the trust that the people have. And why did the people like him initially? You could go on that and make his year 1 year from now. Everything just leapfrogs.
Exactly.
Time almost stood still between 2014 and 2015. Bryan picks up where he is. We put Reigns back where he was, and we, you know, we'll let his ascendance to the throne be a little bit more organic. In the meantime, we don't have Brock, but we still have Paul Heyman. Because from all indications, I guess Brock is leaving after WrestleMania. Is that kind of the word on the street? Or
they go back and forth. I read a couple days ago that they're more optimistic now than they have been that he may re-sign for a similar deal. I think it all comes down to if Brock wants to go back to UFC. I mean, if he's not going back there, I don't see why he wouldn't keep doing this deal as long as they're going to pay him.
Yeah, it seems to be a pretty good gig, right?
Right. I mean, might as well.
Get a lot of cash and you don't have to get punched in the face for real. Well, I, you know, again, it's the idea of where the future lies versus what the best, you know, what they're the most comfortable with. And watching a little bit of NXT this past week as they gear up for the big special this week. I mean, there's some good talent there, but I have some question marks about NXT. I'm not feeling all that comfortable and confident about
really
everything in the future. Because here's my problem. It's not the talent. It's the producing. I see these guys going into that same muddled mess. I kept thinking, boy, this NXT show is good. And it's very simple. It's very straightforward. It's easily digestible, which is ultimately what you want as a wrestling fan. I just worry that when they leave the nest of NXT, that they're going to still get into the morass of Raw and SmackDown. And it's going to cause a lot of confusion. I doubt they booked I didn't see the Ascension in NXT. I doubt they booked them as poorly as they've done down there as they've done so far up here.
No, definitely on the main roster. But you know what? The Ascension, I would say they're part of the learning process, because I don't think anybody watching NXT felt like they had any chance when they got called up. Like, I mean, even though you knew they were good in NXT, they were kind of small. They have, like, there's this guys that have the look. It's like when guys were in ECW or wherever. If you call them up, you know who's going to get over and who's not. I mean, you didn't call up Rico to the main roster knowing he was thinking he was going to be a world champion. You know what I mean? And Rico is good, but it is what it is. You don't, you know, you're calling up Kevin Owens. I think they book him a little bit differently. So I think it's all the same. That doesn't mean we can't enjoy NXT for what it is and, you know, enjoy the 1 hour really well booked show that has strong characters and good booking and logical flow and basic matches and everything else, and hope for the best, just like any other territory back in the day.
I think, again, it presents a little bit of more flavors, if you will, of wrestling, as opposed to this guy is the blank. Sometimes, you know, like you said before, Cena going into that fallback position of being the Undertaker when Vince needed somebody, put the belt on the Undertaker, you know, do it with Cena. I think when Vince gets into his fallback position, it's, we don't have characters. These guys don't have an identity. We need to give them an identity. So you get the New Day. We don't have an identity for Cesaro. Well, he's not connecting with the fans. Well, jerk off, that's because you've changed him 53 times. Just right. Let him be himself. I get that feeling on NXT that watching who was the former champion. I can remember his name is Pac. I can't remember his
Adrian Neville.
Adrian Neville. He's fine. He's a very talented wrestler. But I just worry that somebody like him is going to get up there, and he might not be the perfect example. But I just worry that somebody like him who is great and talented is they're just going to find some weird thing. You know, we're going to make him the Lord of the Rings type of guy because of his pointy ears.
And my point is, though, isn't that the case regardless of NXT? Like, that's just anyone that comes into that company anytime, for now anyway, until Vince is out of the way.
But that's the only way talent gets in. So now you've cut off the idea of anybody coming in from anywhere else. Okay. And they control the whole process, which is fine. If guys are coming up through NXT and these are the guys that were teaching the business from day one. But at the same time, we might be grabbing somebody from New Japan, or we might be grabbing somebody from Ring of Honor. We might be grabbing somebody from here or there and plugging them into the roster and not changing them. But no, everything's got to funnel through NXT and be through that prism, which then goes up into the main roster prism of Stamford, Connecticut. I just get troubled by the process because it needs to happen more organically instead of it being manufactured, created, and put upon them like a sticker.
Well, let me ask you this, though. What if it's just a good proven ground not only for these guys but for Triple H to work through the process of developing characters, booking storylines, booking a coherent show? From all accounts, he's behind most of it with NXT, what goes right on there. So, I mean, is it bad if it's a developmental, not only for the wrestlers, but for the guy that's going to be running the show? I mean, to me, that's where the promise is, that we're seeing crap. If Vince does ever give up or die or whatever, and Triple H takes over, you know, it may be this. You know, it gives some hope that this is what's going on. And in the meantime, for $9.99, we get to enjoy it every week.
Yeah, we do. And I think that the special this week is going to be very good. I'm really looking forward to it. I loved what they did with, it's just so weird to see. It's still weird to me to see Sami Zayn without a mask.
He's awesome at it, though.
I know he's tremendous and just so natural and so good. And, you know, seeing the next chapter of the Steen Generico feud now being done under different names, but under, it's still
and
the
they're
same
they're hinting
guys
at the history too.
Yeah.
So they're not pissing on, they're not saying they never met or anything like that.
No,
you know, they've hinted.
I really enjoyed that. If Vince goes away tomorrow, I think the WWE is fine. But it's kind of like the general manager. Let's say, there's this talent, evaluator in the minor league system for the Yankees who's doing a great job. And Brian Cashman and Hank Steinbrenner, for some reason, are making a bunch of questionable roster decisions. You're going to say, hey, as a fan, I want this guy pulling the strings and not these two.
Right.
You know, it's the same with any professional sports team where the most popular guy is the backup quarterback or, you know, somebody like that. So I want to make sure that this comes across the right way. I think Triple H does a great job with NXT. I think Triple H would do a great job with Raw. I just hope he's given the ball soon and that these guys don't go through the whole process of spending all that time down there, making a little bit of money, decent money, but a little bit of money. But I still think, getting there.
But I think there are guys that can transcend it. I mean, you may lose a couple in the mix that should have been bigger that weren't, but I think you're still going to have your Daniel Bryan, your CM Punk, guys that rise above everything else because of their natural charisma and talent. Like, I think, you know, Steen is one of those guys.
Agreed.
I don't know if Zayn is just because of his size, but they seem to like him. You know, you would have thought that maybe with Bryan, that he was doomed to fail. You know, I think they really seem to like Devitt, you know, Finn Balor, quite a bit. So I think that could be a guy that makes it. A Tommy, they're pushing through. So I think there are guys that they could fight through it and survive. Let me ask you this, though, because you knew him personally, obviously called a lot of his matches, worked with him. Is Kevin Steen Owens becoming a big time, like getting hired by WWE, despite the look he had, and becoming immediately their top guy in NXT, pushed super strong, well-liked by everyone? Like, is that an upset in your eyes, or did you always know that this was possible with him?
It's,
and I don't mean any disrespect at all.
No.
Because I think he's great. I'm just saying, based on his look and style, are you shocked that this is the guy of everyone that is getting like the super push here?
I am surprised. But this is what they bought. They knew who they bought. They knew Kevin Steen. They scouted him. They invited him to training camps. It's not like they just heard of some guy that was red hot and doing good business in Ring of Honor and signed him sight unseen. They knew what they were getting.
Right.
Are they pushing him the right way? Yes. I think they're doing a fabulous job with him. Is he talented enough to run with the ball and to be that level of talent in NXT or even on the main roster? I think so. I totally agree with it. I think he's in a very good spot. He has his wife and his kids there with him. I think that's a very comfortable place for him to be. And I think that, again, when Kevin is happy and when Kevin is focused, there are a few better.
What do you think his ceiling is?
We haven't even seen it yet.
Okay.
We have not
seen
it.
Within the WWE structure, what's the ceiling?
If it's the way it's currently constructed, there is a ceiling.
Okay.
And I worry
above
that
or below Cesaro?
Even with.
Okay.
Perhaps.
So you don't think his ceiling as constructed right now, you don't think his ceiling could be CM Punk or Daniel Bryan?
No, and my worry is that he's and I don't know if this is the case or if they've all signed off on what the plan is with him going forward. We may not know exactly what their thought process is. I'm sure that Triple H is not keeping Kevin Owens in secret, and I'm sure they're talking about him. And word of his popularity and his merchandise success has filtered up the ranks. And Vince is seeing what this guy is, and he's really, really, Hunter, you think so, Paul? You think so, pal? And I'm sure Hunter has said to him, yes, I'm sure. This can be the guy. The two things I worry about is, will there be some negative influences from the outside, like a Kevin Dunn or somebody like that? I don't know. I don't think so, but you never know. You worry about that. And then I just worry about Kevin's body breaking down over time. You got to take care of yourself. He put his body through a lot before he signed with WWE. I'm hopeful that he can continue on the ascension now, the way everything. All signs are pointed up. I'm much more positive now than I was when he first started there. I had great hesitancy what they were going to do, but he's taken off like a rocket ship there, and I think it's great. So I'm very excited for that. So after Fastlane, where do you think we are with the WrestleMania main event? Will we know what we have going in? Are we going to be 100% sure, or are they going to drag this out beyond this coming week?
I think we know 2 weeks from tonight. Is that the night after Fastlane?
I think so.
So I think that's the night we know. The Raw after Fastlane, everything will be settled.
Okay. Your favorite February WWE pay-per-view event? Mine was St. Valentine's Day Massacre 1999.
That's a good one. It's hard to go against that one. Final Four was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Just that one match. Good memories watching that show with my buddy.
Do you miss the Elimination Chamber? You miss the Elimination Chamber?
Not in February. I like it as a gimmick. I know you're not a fan of it. I like the idea of it as a. I'm not a fan of any gimmick besides the Rumble or Survivor Series matches being shoehorned into a month. So I hate that. Oh, it's February. That means we got to come up with a plan for Elimination Chamber. I like when Elimination Chambers and Cells and Money in the Banks and Ladder, whatever TLCs, fit the feud. That's what I like. I don't like when it's shoehorned. And I mean, everyone loves War Games, but it's kind of the same thing. Only it felt more organic because they actually planned ahead of time more than a month. So you could kind of see things coming more often.
Right.
But
It was the payoff. It was the payoff to a year's worth of rivalry between factions.
Right. I think the Cell being a monthly pay-per-view set in stone is more egregious than the Chamber. Because you could sell the Chamber like Rumble Light, where whatever, that's just when that is. I think the Cell is something that should always be more organic, that a feud is driven you to having a Hell in a Cell match, not that it's October, we need to have three Hell in a Cell matches.
I think they should have combined the Money in the Bank and the Elimination Chamber and had Money in the Elimination Chamber.
There you go. Is that money in all the pods? Like
in that, all the pods, right? And they have to collect, right? Yes. It blows up for as much time as they can. They grab as much cash as they can. And then they beat the hell out of one another and steal as much money as they can, only to, and then the winner gets all the money that is collected by everyone that leaves the Elimination Chamber pods. So it is kind of a winner-take-all scenario for a lot of cash. But it's all those Vince bucks and JBL money that they have left over. So it's not really, it's not really, you know, but it is going to come out of their downside, though. So they are going to have to pay for it in one respect or another. All right. The love that we got from Boneheads is off the charts. And we'll talk about them in a few moments. And, of course, we got to tell you as well about our pals at GetRidOfCable.net. But, JR, now's a perfect time. Let's look around the site. Look around the room, if you will, and let everybody know what else, what other goodness, what all is going on PlaceToBeNation.com right now.
So much goodness. As you know, of course, we just talked about Roman Reigns. Todd Gessling got a piece about Roman Reigns and paying your dues. You should check out. Every week, Aaron George ranks the best action from Raw, NXT, SmackDown, Impact, and Ring of Honor, Kevin. Does top four lists across the board for all those shows. Our buddy Andrew Reich, our college hoops aficionado, had a piece on the passing of the late, great Dean Smith, so be sure to check that out if you're a college hoops fan, or even if you're not, if you're just a fan of well-written tributes. New episode of Where the Big Boys Play, wrapping up the year 91.
I don't know who this is, but this is a well-written tribute.
This is a fitting tribute for this man. Charles, Kevin, has your favorite column up for the week, February 8th of the 14th, this week in 90s wrestling, of course. We talked about it in-depth in our last episode. Looks at all different matches and angles, promos, behind-the-scenes stuff from this week in the 1990s, from 90 to 99, so that's a must-read. We had a couple new sports podcasts up as well. The Sports Lounge and Extra Point both recapped the Super Bowl, kind of wrapped up the season that was in football, and our NBA team as well had a new installment. Here on the Place to Be podcast, we live watched the fifth episode of Saturday Night's Main Event from March 1st to 86, leading into WrestleMania 2. We had our Seinfeld rewatch. We're into almost two-thirds of the way through season 4. Coming this week, of course, is one of the greatest episodes of all time, The Outing, where George and Jerry are thought to be gay and a gay couple by a newspaper reporter. So if you haven't seen it, check it out. It is still very funny. Kev, I had a piece. I don't know if you get to read it yet, but you should because I think it's good. Looking 20 years ago when Sid returned to WWF to be the bodyguard for Shawn Michaels, and
read that.
Did you like it? How I discovered Insider News?
It was sort of like parallel worlds while Shawn was rediscovering Sid. You were discovering the world behind the world of professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I tried to tweet Brutal Bob. I was hoping for a retweet out of him. I mentioned his boy, Cody Boynes, I name dropped in there. So I was hoping to get a little Brutal Bob love. Maybe he just hasn't had a chance yet. So I'll get on him about that. Last chance to vote in round 5 of the 90s tournament. Round 6 will start in the next day or so. So get that in now. Facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation for all your PTBN needs.
There you go. And so lots of good stuff as always on the Place to Be Nation menu. And speaking of menus. When you go to Boneheads, I'm going to have the usual?
No.
Or are you one of these, random hearts who will pick out, I've got a taste for, this looks good. What are some of the things that grab your eyes there at Boneheads Wing Bar?
Depends who I'm with, honestly. So if I went with my buddy Don the other night, and he's not a big wing guy, so we got burgers. We got nachos, and we split a burger. If I go with, Mr. Andy Flanagan or Roger Morissette, we'll go wings. We'll go big on the wings. So we'll get a couple of different flavors. If I'm going to be there all day when we go for football or for pay-per-views, we'll really blow it out, get different kind of wings. So it really just depends on more about the group and how long I'm going to be there versus what I'm in the mood for. Because I'm in the mood for any of it all the time.
And of course, I know this because we talked about this on the last episode. Their takeout is fantastic.
Yes.
And with the new baby on the way, this is something that you're going to have to be aware of. You may not be able to get away to Boneheads as often as possible. You're going to have to get it to go.
Right. And you can, great takeout. They're actually opening a satellite in Fall River, Massachusetts. That's going to be opening in the next week or two, or maybe next month. I don't want to commit to that. And they're going to be takeout and delivery only. So they will not be dine in, but they'll have all the same menu and everything else. You can do takeout or delivery there.
We'll have to go. Locations. We should go there and then take in a top rope wrestling show in Fall River.
There you go.
And swing by Swansea and go say hi to Brutal Bob.
Okay, I'm down. He lives in Swansea. All those things.
Yeah.
My sister lives in Swansea.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, look at that.
We'll knock out, we'll kill two birds with one stone, three birds with one stone. We'll go to Boneheads in Swansea.
Yep.
We'll get takeout. We'll go see your sister. We'll go see Brutal Bob.
Sounds good.
Make it a plan. All right. That's and still no word on the, but we're getting TV back in Providence.
All right. I'm waiting for it.
I think that's, start checking your local cable listings.
Because as soon as you're ready to come here, we already have things lined up. Maybe for a little meet and greet at Boneheads. We'll see. We'll see what's going on.
I'm down with that.
Chocolate chip cookie dough cheesecake, by the way, limited. Oh, they had it the other day. Did you see the picture of this thing?
I did. Oh, and it's fantastic. Now that I've liked them on Facebook, yeah. Boneheads Wing Bar, it's like now I see everything in my timeline. Mm-hmm. And I look at it at night, and it's like I'm trying not to eat after dinner. So it's torture.
I know.
It is absolute torture. So I said check your cable listings. But what happens if you don't have cable? What do you do?
You go to getridofcable.net. And they'll walk you through the entire process. They'll tell you the tips for how to live without cable, how to shake the disease, how to get rid of it, to get over it. They have all the different options you can go with. Up-to-date news and notes there from the staff at getridofcable.net. The one place to go if you have any questions.
I've been very hesitant to do it, but I'm leaning more and more towards it every day. But just the great information you get from getridofcable.net.
Yep.
Make sure you check that out. All right. So that's what's going on there. We've covered the topic of the day. And we have so much more good stuff coming up, including a special Hall of Fame theme game, which we'll do later on. But right now, let's do trending stories, because this is the thing that everybody looks forward to the most here on the Kevin Kelly Show. A slew of stories from around the world, and it all begins with trending story number one.
And now, the news the whole world is talking about. It's time for Trending Stories, right here on The Kevin Kelly Show.
My friend's got a girlfriend and he hates that bitch. He tells me every day. He says, man, I really gotta lose my chick in the worst kind of way. She sits on her...
Kev, get a job, will you?
Offspring, oh, come on.
But you know, the best way, once you do get that job, if you want to avoid starting your job at a pizza place, is to tweet that the job is fuck-ass the day before you start. At Shella, C-E-L-L-L-A, three L's. Ew, I start this fuck-ass job tomorrow, she says in Twitter. Texas teenager Chella got hired at a pizza place where her would-be boss says her duties have been working register, taking phone orders, making subs and salads, and eating free pizza. After she publicly thumbs down her disappointment with a new job, her would-be boss Robert Waple, Jets pizza franchise owner, an alleged fat prick, okay, going down an interesting wormhole here, was alerted to the tweet by a backstabbing would-be co-worker. Waple broke out of Twitter retirement, as he hadn't posted since 2009, to let her know that, no, she would not be starting her fuck-ass job. He tweeted at Chella, and no, you won't start that FA job today, I just fired you! Good luck with your no money, no job life. And that's how you get fired over Twitter for the quickness. Twitter land exploded with a million renditions of how stupid you have to be to get fired over Twitter. One tweeter called the boss man out for being a suspect of reappearing on Twitter after such a long absence. Pizza boss explained how it all went down. Nope, it's me. One of my workers sent a pic of her tweet. I haven't used my account in a long time, but I did today because some thought maybe it was fake. Even though Waple was proud to take responsibility of his tweets on February 7th, now the story's going viral that has made his account private. And it goes on from there. So, Kev, what did you think of this whole situation? she deserved to get fired for calling a fuck-ass job.
First of all, I just love the storytelling, right? And you take these big, long stories and you condense them down here to really just the meat. And there's so much goodness right here that you just presented.
You
first
can cut
of
it
all,
down to just the cheese beyond the meat?
Yeah, right. You had a little bit of cheese on the side there.
Yeah.
You had somebody just ghetto... Right, piece of trash in Chella. Then,
and by the way,
had,
she's also going to court per her Facebook post or Twitter post recently.
You meaning as a defendant or as a?
She says gonna take a walk before court to clear my mind, and then she tweeted, "It's sad that me and my dad only talk when I need money." So I don't know.
Listen, Facebook trolling her is not probably the good way to go. But anyway, I think that she is indicative of so many of the problems of American society right now. But perhaps
the millennials, you know,
the stooge,
you're fired. Fuck ass.
I've got a problem with the stooge.
Yeah, that's a little rough.
The stooge to me, because what they had to make sure that they protected their spot.
It's a Jets pizza, and baby. Woody Johnson's pissed off.
Don't mention
Chris Johnson tweeting that. Oh, I gotta go to this fuck ass franchise and go run the ball.
And Mike McKagan's like, no, you won't, Chris. You can stay home. No, I just think it's awesome. The stooge, brilliant marketing though. If I'm a follower of this now, I'm thinking about how I could duplicate this locally somewhere else.
Right.
Take it around the loop and just create a fictional Chella and do the whole thing again. And it'll just be eerily reminiscent of what happened in Texas with Jets. But good business. I'm sure Jets got more notoriety out of this than anything they've ever done. You know, any coupons or, you know, two for Tuesdays or whatever they've tried in the past. Chella has been a marketing boon for them. So hats off to Jet. And
someone
best
did come to her. Someone did come to her defense, though. Big Walk Meech at Dubs You Fry. He said, "You know, the job is indeed fuck ass, and he had to be high to ever endure working there." He said, "Just thought you know, I was stoned out of my mind every time I went to work, and your pizza sucks." Meech says, and then Robert Wapple responds, "Being high would only partly explain how you could deliver a pizza to the wrong house multiple times and you have no hockey skills." So,
wow.
Big Bob on the rampage calling out former employees, current employees, and everything else. So, a lot going on with Jets Pizza.
I'm not sure, you know, he needs to go back, I think, on Twitter hiatus, but at least he's representing strong and calling out people for their hockey skills. I don't know. I'm excited to see where this goes next, and I hear that Chella has a, you know, a reality show in development with VH1.
Right, so already in the books.
We're looking forward to seeing
episode
that. Right,
so that's already been filmed.
That's the first trending story. I can only imagine where we go from here with more trending stories. This is number two here on the Kevin Kelly Show. I know where you're going.
All right, you don't even need to hear it, huh? Bruce Jenner. Where do we start? So, a lot going on with Brucey. Obviously, we're going to get to the sad story in a minute, but what do you think of the whole Bruce turning? I mean, like, I feel like it's been a joke for a long time that he was trying to. So was this like the least surprising story ever when you heard it, that he was officially trying to transition to becoming a woman?
Well, here I'm 47 years old, be 48 in May.
Yeah.
I remember the 76. Shut up. I remember the 76 Olympics. I remember him on the Wheaties box. I remember all of that stuff. To see how it has transformed, how he has transformed over 40 years, to me is shocking. It really is. It's unnerving that here was a symbol, this all-American man, the decathlete, the ultimate athlete, is now, and I guess always has been, a woman, or had been living this secret life, or who knows what. It's the source of ridicule and everybody's having a good laugh at it. But there's people in my generation who are like, what the hell? Are you kidding me? This is Bruce effing Jenner. But here we are now with him going through hormone therapy and having hair extensions put in and his lips plumped and all kinds of stuff going on. It's plumped. Just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Where would you rank him on once he becomes a woman on the Kardashian scale? So we got Kim, we got Kourtney, we got Chloe, we got Chris, and now we got Bruce.
He is
female. I put him above Chris, I think.
Above who's the big heifer? Is that Courtney?
Odom? No, that's Chloe.
Chloe, she's 0.0 on my scale.
Kim, not on the scale. Kim and Courtney are 1 and 1A.
Yeah, Kim, Courtney, Chris, Bruce, Chloe.
Oh, poor Chloe.
Yeah.
All right, we should move on. We're not having a good spot with this one.
Robert Kardashian only slightly behind Khloe, and he's been dead now for 10 years.
He was the lawyer?
Yeah, he was the OJ lawyer and the patriarch of the family.
I always picture him being, I don't know why, because I just like equate what the Kardashians were like. Is, you remember the movie Clueless?
Yes.
Alicia Silverstone's father in that's a lawyer, and he's in all the other movies. Who the hell else was he? You know who he is. He's in every movie.
I picture him. I can't think of his name.
Yeah. You know who he is. So anyway, I picture that being the Kardashian dad for some reason.
Tremendous lawyer, hair, double-breasted suit.
You know, lawyer. Kind of a shrewd lawyer of the 90s with this kind of entitled rich family. But
Better Get Saul. That's what he looked like.
Cher did much better than Kim McCourty. I need to find out this guy's name, though, because I know
All right, so what's the story
Dan Hedaya. Hedaya? Dan
yes,
Hedaya?
Yes.
He's in Night at the Roxbury. That's his other kind of big one. Then he was in the Mighty Ducks, Rookie of the Year. Nixon, To Die For, Usual Suspects, Marvin's Room Ransom, First Wives Club, Daylight. And this is like a 2-year span. All the stuff he's in.
He was red hot for a while.
Yeah.
All right, so what was he's the point of the story other than just you played Dude Looks Like a Lady and you said, Kev, like Bruce Jenner. And then that was it.
Well, obviously the car crash. Yes, the car crash.
Yeah, so, what's going on with this?
Effed up. So he's getting chased. Krames is getting chased by paparazzi. Slams on his brakes, slams into a car. And in his car, well, he slammed into a car from behind. That car went into ongoing traffic. And the lady was killed that was driving that car. So super sad story. Are we at critical mass now with this paparazzi madness craze of celeb news and worship that we're killing people? Poor woman in her 70s driving around LA, that we're taking her life because we needed a picture of this dude that looks like a lady. Like, do we really need that? I mean, do we need this picture so bad? Like, who gives a shit? And now someone's killed because you had to snap a picture for Extra or E or whatever else.
Understand that. And you raise a very good point about, you know, because I see it on a very, very small scale in professional wrestling, where fans sometimes get a little bit overzealous, and certainly not towards me. They could care less about me. But, you know, I've seen some fans get pretty upset. This is a whole different animal. This is the money for the picture type of thing. But are we accusing someone that are we creating? Did Bruce Jenner make up a boogeyman here to
right, which is entirely possible
to excuse his rotten driving?
Well, he did pass. Just to clarify, he did pass all of his tests, so he wasn't drunk or anything like that.
Right, exactly. But when you hit someone from behind, you are automatically at fault.
Yes.
And if the police or whatever, if there's no eyewitnesses that said, yes, I plainly saw Bruce Jenner's car being chased down this highway or this road by this other car speeding by, and here's a description of it. Okay, then now you've got something. Otherwise, you got Bruce Jenner being a lousy driver. And what does this say for the stereotypes of women? You know, now the former Olympic great all of a sudden becomes a woman and he forgets how to drive. Is this really what we've come to? Cheap jokes about bad women drivers? Is that all we have left?
Especially when someone died.
I know, but so is he going to be in the women's prison or in the men's prison? Because that's vehicular homicide.
Yes.
And unless he pleads out, you know, he doesn't have a good lawyer in Robert Kardashian because he's dead.
Right. But, Dan Hedaya may be available.
We'll get Dan Hedaya. You know, I'm very busy. My agent just called. What is this you need? I'm not really a lawyer. I was just played one in Clueless. Oh, you need real representation? Well, I'm here to help. Here we go. I just think it's a
sick... He also owned a flower shop in Night at the Roxbury, so he doesn't...
He was great. I think he's tremendous. Very hairy man, isn't he?
Apparently, like, they said his word... Yes, he is. He's very hairy. The word is, too, that they hung around and took pictures after the accident, too, of this paparazzi.
Oh, okay. So there are... Okay, well, then they need to... they need to go after this paparazzi that was chasing.
Do they get the Seinfeld rule? You know, the bystanders laughing and taking pictures when they should have been helping.
Exactly. Well, that's the other thing too. Put him in jail for all of eternity and make him watch the conclusion of Seinfeld over and over again.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens with Bruce Jenner, but I'm interested to see what's next. But I'm also interested in the next trending story because we usually have 3 at a minimum. Sometimes we even get a special bonus one if we've been good. We'll find out in a few moments. But right now, trending story number 3 here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
Now, Kev, we established you're old. Do you know which video game that theme song's from?
No, I was trying to remember.
It is The Legend of Zelda.
I wasn't a Legend of Zelda guy.
Me neither, but you should know the song. Video games have always been hit or miss when adapted to live television or film, or just television film in general. But there's one game that fans have been clamoring for is a live-action adaptation. It looks like it may finally be happening. Nintendo and Netflix are working together to develop a live-action series based on The Legend of Zelda. Set in a fictional world, the various video games center around a young boy named Link, who undertakes various adventures where he often works with and helps save Princess Zelda. Describes the future series as a Game of Thrones for a family audience, which sounds like the right tone and approach due to the fantasy realm and the beasts and dangers that lay inside of it. Kev, any interest in this if it happens? And if not, we can move on to another discussion of what other video games would you like to see become TV shows?
I'm not a Legend of Zelda fan, but I'm sure there would be fans. I'm sure there'll be some clamoring and bickering from purists out there who go, this doesn't follow the video game at all. But I would love to see a Grand Theft Auto game made, and very true life. I think that, you know, some sort of violent video game where there's just rampant violence going on. I'm a big fan of that. Or the Madden game. I'd love to see Madden brought to life in video, in movie form. What do you think?
Well, Madden, huh? That's an interesting one.
Let's have the Madden franchise.
Wasn't that kind of Any Given Sunday? Kind of felt like that.
That's true. That is true. I'm open-minded when it comes to video games and movie adaptations, and I've never been one that got hung up on, you know, the details. I was good with the Super Mario Brothers TV show with Captain Lou Albano.
Yes, that was great. The movie, not so much.
My standards are pretty low. What do you think?
I'm just somewhat more of a sports franchise game guy, honestly. I mean, Grand Theft Auto would be cool. I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet. I don't got one. I mean, I was just a big Madden guy and baseball guy.
How about NBA Jam with the big heads?
So how would you do a series around that?
I just think it's this other world that we live in, and there's these NBA players, and they play 2-on-2, and they have special powers where their heads blow up to enormous sizes.
So it's real life or it's cartoon? Because this ain't live action here.
What about Tecmo Bowl? Because, again, the Raiders would be unstoppable.
Just have Bo Jackson in it.
That's right, and they've got to come up with a way to get Bo Jackson out of the game. And
how about Pac-Man? Real life Pac-Man.
Real life Pac-Man would be fine. I would enjoy
stalk
that.
Stalk a woman around the city while ghosts try and stop you.
I'll tell you, we went
to a beach house real quick this summer that my mother-in-law had rented, and they actually had an old school like sit down Pac-Man game. So I spent a lot of time those couple weekends playing that thing.
The weather bad?
No, just like at night or whatever, having a drink or whatever, or early in the morning before we went outside. No, whatever. Oh, it was September, so it wasn't hot. It was a little cool, a little cool.
Yeah, that's not great beachy weather.
Yeah. Well, it's nice kind of Labor Day-ish and the summer kind of thing.
Did you see, and this is off subject, and I don't know if I'm taking away too much time. Did you see the pictures on Twitter of the Miami Hurricanes basketball announcer?
No.
Who apparently was out in the sun and had sunglasses on and was sitting courtside calling the game and had the complete white raccoon face.
No, I did not see that. That's awesome.
Somebody, he had a unintended close-up as the referees were discussing some ball out of play or something like that. So the ESPN cameras got him, and somebody screen-capped it, and it's all over the internet today. Oh, it's all over Twitter. He looks like he's in so much pain because his face is so red, transposed with the white of his, sunglasses.
That's what a man looks like, not pale like you.
I just laughed, and I remember seeing Dory Funk Jr., who I guess had fallen asleep at the pool. I went to wrestling. I was 11 years old, West Palm Beach Auditorium, and the front half of him was sunburnt, and his back was ghost white. And I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, how painful that must be for him to be in there wrestling, because he looked like that was a lot of sunburn. And he was kind of fishy white to begin with, so it really stood out. But do we have any more time left? Is there another trending story? I know sometimes you have an extra one.
Yeah, I think we can squeeze one more in here because it's a good one.
All right, this will be a good one because this is a bonus trending story. An extra level of goodness here on the Kevin Kelly Show. An extra trending story for you.
You don't know the title of this song, Kev. It's My Hero by the Foo Fighters. And that is because Joe Langdell, working as a junior accountant in Boston, when he got the idea that he should join the Navy and go to sea in 1940, as America edged closer every day to joining the war that raged in Europe, after proving his sea legs on the battleship New York, Langdell signed up. His college degree earned him a place in the officers' training program. In March 1941, newly commissioned as an ensign, he reported for his first assignment on the USS Arizona, stationed at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. By the end of the year, the mighty Arizona lay shattered beneath the harbor, sunk by Japanese bombers in December 7th attack that finally propelled the United States to war. Langdell survived the attack along with 334 other crewmen, devoted most of his later years to preserving the memory of the day, and he passed away last week at the age of 100. He was the oldest living survivor of the Arizona, with his passing just 8 crewmen of the mighty battleship remain.
Wow, and it's the movie, I thought, that, you know, brought a lot of people to life if they weren't aware of Pearl Harbor and the story of the Arizona and everything that happened over that time and how indication was given. That's a great story, though. And here was a volunteer, a guy who just, you know, decided to sign up on his own, didn't wait to get drafted, and wound up on that ship on that fateful day. That's amazing. 100 years old. If someone said to you, all right, JR, you're going to live to be 100.
Yep.
And you're what, barely 30?
Over 30, but I like that. Thank you.
Slightly over 30?
Yep.
All right, but if somebody said to you, all right, you're going to live to be 100, take it or leave it, would you sign up for it now?
Yeah, why not?
I think I would, right?
Might as well.
You know, you could roll the
dice. Why wouldn't you? That you may get older? You might go older? Is that what it is?
Yeah, maybe I could be one of these people that would live to 105 or 110.
No. Yeah. I'll take the chance.
Maybe medical science has come up with cures over the next 70 years to extend life to, say, 125 or 150.
Yeah.
And here you are. You're only 100. Oh, he died so young.
I could be pissed the other way, though, if I'm dead at, you know, 58. I got another 42 years to go.
That's true. But if you also, then again, you'd have kind of, if somebody said to you, you will live to be 100. That means you could, like, walk in traffic. You know that you're not going to die.
Well, see, yeah, there's different ways. Now, are you saying you won't die a natural death? You'll live to 100. You're not going to get cancer or anything else. Or you're saying you cannot be killed because there's two ways. You could still say you're going to live to 100 naturally with the caveat that, you know, you may die in an accident or something. But if you don't and everything goes well, you're not going to contract any disease that kills you before 100.
I think
heart attacks, nothing like that.
I think either way, you take it and you run with it.
Yeah,
you roll the dice and you say, I'm going to live, you know, if somebody, because I'm 47, like I said, and if somebody said, hey, you're going to get another 53 years out of this deal, I'd be like, hell yeah, I'm down with that.
Still be calling Ring of Honor.
I just hope you could still be attending events.
We'll be in the back row. You're in the wheelchair, wheeled out.
That's awesome. All right, we've got
soaring and scoring. Hachi Machi, check my diaper.
Hachi Machi Maria. We have got to take.
She'll still be there too.
She'll still be there. We have got to take a break. But we'll be
Ring
back.
Of Honor will never die.
Vince will still be around. He'll be 174, but it'll be awesome then. We'll take a break. We'll put a bow on this edition of the Kevin Kelly Show. We come back, play a game. We'll do some more fun stuff right after this. Stick around.
Can't wait to get out of this fuck-ass podcast. Raise my voice and I shout out loud. I got the Triforce and I am proud. I finally hit him with the silver arrow. And you know I leave the rock. Even though the road to good is narrow, Zelda's on my jock.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the big four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. And a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
That's right.
All right, we're back here on the Kevin Kelly Show. We have had a great time here tonight, and I look forward to doing more stuff. I do want to alert everybody. I am going to be on, you'll be able to hear me on JR's podcast on the Ross Report. I'm very excited to be doing that with Jim Ross, and that'll be up, I think, in a week. So I record tomorrow, and then it'll be available on the 17th, and I look forward to that. So you'll see links from the Place to Be Nation Twitter feed, I'm sure on Facebook as well, and from my stuff on social media as well. But thanks to JR, who was a guest here with us. Now reciprocation is, this is how the business works. So I get to be a guest on his show. See how it works, JR? It's all big, one happy.
What the hell do I get then?
You get the rub. You get the you get the enjoyment of being able to listen to me
get the rub
talk to Jim Ross, yep, but not have to do any work.
Okay.
How about B. Brian Blair before when he was
fired up,
Kelly,
baby,
when he was talking about Kelly Kelly?
Yeah. Well, she is better looking than you, so he wasn't wrong.
There was money to be made with me and her as, you know, brother and sister. They should have done
sister wives. Is your wife down for that?
Daughter. No. She could have been young enough. I don't know. No, my wife wouldn't have been down with it at all. It would have been a terrible idea, and it would have caused great strife in her home.
But it's Kelly Kelly.
It's Kelly Kelly. It's so stupid. What a stupid name. But it's memorable.
That's a real name. What are you talking about?
All right. So if you had to put a subtitle on the NFL season that is completed.
Annoying.
Really? Well, what would it be?
Troublesome.
Yeah, are you bullish or bearish on the league?
Stuck in the middle because yeah. I want to be bearish because I feel like any other business would crumble with all the shit they got going on. But America loves them some football, so it's hard to say. Like, I mean, I watch every game.
Do you think the Super Bowl was wait a minute now. You despise the Patriots.
Yeah.
But that's
no, it was a great game.
Withstanding, it was a pretty terrific game.
It was a great game. I mean, I will never understand that play call, and I've seen the stats. I've seen the numbers. I've seen, yeah, he was open for that split second. I don't care. Run the ball. What are you doing? Overthinking.
Is it kind of like what we talked about earlier on when we talked about the WWE, that they get an idea in their head and they're not willing to change, and that sometimes the trends, you look at what works and what does it, this should work. This play will work.
Yeah, I think they just got a little too smart for the room. I think it's, and I know, I understand that the guy was open and the, you know, the Butler made an awesome play. So kudos there. I don't get how you have the best running back in the NFL and one of the softest red zone defenses in the NFL. And you don't at least run one more time. They were rocked, you know? They just, after that play they had given up, all of a sudden the game looks lost, and they're shell-shocked. Lynch picked up like 3 or 4 yards, I think, on first down. I don't get why you don't do it again.
It seemed to be, and I, like, again, hindsight 2020, Herm Edwards, who I love on ESPN, broke down the play after the fact and said, if they would have just run the, if they would have, you know, you fake, and boy, oh boy, there's Russell Wilson, who would have had, he would have had
right
to beat one guy heading to the end zone, and that would have been it.
So many different ways you could have gone other than throwing it into traffic. And right, I know he was open for a split set, but why? Why throw in the middle of the field like that from where you are? I don't get it. I don't, that's going to haunt them. I mean, that is a haunting moment right there for a long time.
Is it one that stunts the franchise?
No, because I think they're young and good. It's more likely to get stunted by having to pay Russell Wilson now and being a little bit more hamstrung financially more than that. But that's to let a championship get away like that, it's very haunting.
Do you see them keeping the core intact in Seattle with Marshawn Lynch and some of the cornerstones of the defense?
Well, it sounds like they're going to offer Lynch quite a big deal. They did right before the game, so I can't see him getting that anywhere else. So, yeah, I would say probably going to stay. They obviously going to pay Wilson, so there's going to be some squeeze somewhere else. So are they going to be a lock to go to the Super Bowl again next year? No, I don't think so. But I think right, they'll still be very good. Like, I think they'll still be a playoff team.
And if you had to pick, Do you get more excited for pitchers and catchers reporting with baseball, or do you get more excited for training camp starting for football?
Pitchers and catchers.
Yeah.
Big baseball fan. But usually I'm dying by this point for baseball because the Jets the last few years have been out of it. And normally I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait for baseball. I'll follow spring training. Like, I'll follow religiously. But as you may know, Kev, my Providence College Friars are currently in the field of 68 for the March Madness.
Yeah.
One of the strongest teams of the Big East. So I got a lot going on in the world of college hoops I haven't had in a long time. You know, last year they got hot at the end and made that run, but this year they've actually been good. So I haven't had that in, you know, not since I've been going to the games. So
now, what happened to the coach?
Cooley was, it turned out he was just really had a bug and was severely dehydrated and ill. It was scary there for a minute. Went to the hospital during the game. Team got rattled. I think it ended up costing the game, I would say. Not to take away from Xavier, but as soon as he left, they went on like an 18-5 run or something like that. You could tell they were a little bit rattled seeing him leave.
Yeah, I had no, again, only because of you.
Yes.
Do I now pick up on Providence Friar News?
Sweeping the nation.
And I saw that go across the bottom of the screen on the ticker on ESPN. I was like, what the hell is this? This is, you know, figures JR's luck. The team starts doing well, and now the coach is going to cash out.
Right. So he's okay. He'll be coach on Wednesday. Biggest game of the year. Home game, 8 o'clock at the Dunk. Sixth-ranked Villanova coming to town. So a win here, I think, really punches it. I think they're in unless they blow a couple of these winnable games. But a win here, we're talking like really good seed, I think, as long as they don't blow anything.
I think that there is definitely an upset in the making.
Nova's beatable. I'm not trying to get my hopes up too much, but Nova's beatable.
Well, were you surprised at the win at Georgetown?
For PC?
Yeah,
and I was pleasantly surprised because that's a game in the past they probably lose, and they stayed with it and they won. It's a culture win, like Ed Cooley says. So I was you know, very excited, surprised, glad to get one of those games because they had a really tough stretch. They were at St. John's, who's just been in their head for the last couple of years, at Georgetown, at Xavier. And Xavier's the toughest home team in the Big East. And then Nova coming in. So I really wanted to get like one win out of those three road wins. You don't want to have to have Nova come in on a three-game losing streak.
Right.
So
right.
That was a big win. And then they get a couple games that they just can't afford to lose.
I watched some of that St. John's game. I watched the second half. And they came out of the timeout after they had made a little run, and they got off a bad shot, and then turn around, easy transition bucket, and they just could not get back what they lost there out of that timeout. So they had clawed back underneath double digits. So
yeah, St. John's is just the last 2 years is really just, I don't know, giving them a hard time.
They're a good team. I mean, Steve Lavin recruits the thugs with the best of them.
Yeah, you can always tell. Every other team is beating the crap out of them in the conference. PC's the only team that loses to them. I don't know. As like, it's the only team they've beaten on the road. So this is one of those years. I hope they avoid them in the tournament and in the Big East tournament. So,
well, so we've got
Left Shark. You know, we didn't talk about Left Shark. Are you into Left Shark? The Shark from Katy Perry at the Super Bowl. Left Shark.
Oh,
you haven't seen that whole thing?
Left Shark. Where is Left Shark's landing spot at this point? Because I think Left Shark could write his own ticket.
He's still very over. He's like the Austin 316 of Super Bowl halftime. As he had that one moment, one sign, Left Shark has taken over the world. Everywhere on Twitter, if you look at this thing, all kinds of memes and everything else. A lot of funny ones, too. I've laughed a lot.
I've been a big fan of Left Shark way back in the day. I'm not these Johnny-come-latelys who just all of a sudden jumped on the bandwagon, okay?
What did you think of the halftime? Yeah.
I thought it was great. I thought she was, again, I'm not a Katy Perry fan.
Yeah.
I've never seen any of her performances, but I do know her songs.
You do know her look.
And she was very tame, I thought.
Yeah, she was.
Like, the cleavage was very toned down, which I thought was done on
purpose. She had Bam Bam Bigelow's outfit on.
She did. She rockin' Bam Bam's look on her way to the ring. I do think that the Missy Elliott surprise was nice.
That was great.
That was a big pop. And the way that they got around the suggestive nature of, like, you know, with the Kissed a Girl and I Liked It by having Lenny Kravitz there. So therefore they're both singing it.
Shout out Bruce Jenner out there.
Oh, he could have. he could sing it about him while he's looking in the mirror.
Right,
the Lex Luger mirror.
Yeah. Lex Luger mirror.
But I thought it was a very, very well done halftime show.
It was good. I was very excited for Missy. That was great.
Yeah, what a pop.
Yeah.
I popped when I saw her
come out. She hasn't been around lately. She hasn't done much. She's been missing in action.
I can't believe that there was a Missy Elliott sighting. I haven't said her name in
well, I say her name all the time. She's
10
awesome.
Years. I sing her songs all the time. I certainly know her lines. I am looking at Twitter right now, and Shit Wrestlers Say is hysterical to me. And apparently there's a picture of Seth Rollins in a hot dog costume.
Okay. Where, not as good as Left Shark.
No, not as good, but it's hashtag hacked. And he's in a Halloween costume with a girl, and he's wearing a hot dog costume. So I'm a big fan of that. And I'm also a big fan on Twitter of Old Fart Ole, the Ole Anderson.
I started following him on your recommendation.
I just love it. So if we could get, I wish we could get Ole Anderson as a guest, but he's not mentally with it anymore.
Yeah.
But that would be
You're
one.
You're enough of a bully.
I would stop it. He was the meanest, gruffest, angriest man
what
ever.
A nice old man, and you just want to go piss on his legacy.
No,
bring him in here all diminished.
I want to have him on. That's what I mean. I want to have him on to put him over, because I think he's incredible. But I just...
You weren't the guy that got beat up by Vern Gagne in the mental institution, were you?
He would probably salute that. He would like that. He would be a big fan. My money, though, would be on Ole in just about any fight. To this day,
I just watched all his stuff, the 93 WCW run that he was a big part of. But unheralded, yeah. You know who's a great commentary team that doesn't get enough love? Tony Schiavone and Jesse Ventura.
You know what? I agree with
really
that.
Good. Like having fun. Like Tony loved it. You could tell. And Bobby came in 94 and Jesse gets the boot. And Bobby's good. But you just notice the huge drop off. Like it's not even close. The drop off from Jesse to Bobby in those WCW shows. And I watched Slamboree, and Jesse comes out for a match, and it's like Tony got his old buddy back from, like, he had moved away, and he's back for the summer. Like, he was thrilled for that one match. There was a really, really good team. And, like, Jesse was Jesse, and really enjoyable watching them call those shows in 93.
I watched WrestleMania 3 yesterday, and just could not believe how good the team of Monsoon and Ventura was.
Jesse's amazing. I mean, just...
Forgot how good they were.
Just everything about Jesse was good. Everything's legitimate. Everything's serious, yet, you know, he can make jokes and put things over while bagging him on. The only person he probably ever never really put over while bagging on was Dusty Rhodes for whatever reason. Seemed to really hate him, so he didn't give him any credit for anything. But
why is he hating on the Dream?
I don't know. Watch WrestleMania 6. He just torches him and Sapphire.
Well, didn't he always bury Tito Santana, too?
Yeah, but it was like in a fun way. Like, he'd always put him over still while he was burying him, you know? It was like the Chico, MFLs, burritos, all that stuff. But he always put over what a stud he was. Dusty just, like, nothing positive comes out of his mouth.
Wow. That was Vince's guy there for a while. Ventura.
Oh, yeah. He was the man.
And then he flew the coop and held out his hand. And that's the reason why none of us announcers got royalties.
Yeah, bastard. Well, he came back for 20 because I was watching that the other night for our podcast. And, they let him do the interview with Trump, and he comes out. It's just so cool. I'm like, damn it, all these years, just, he could have been around wasted, still doing awesome. Because remember, he came back, I think it was like 09, they did a Raw where he was the guest GM, and it was at MSG, and him and Vince did commentary for a match. That was one of the things he decreed. It was like a battle royal or something, and it was just so awesome. It's like just Jesse and Vince back together. But I feel like Jesse was just a wasted commodity in the world of wrestling from 94 on.
Hey, you know, there's a lot of goodness that we're seeing on the network and a lot of tremendous classic moments. And you had a great idea, I think, for a game.
Yeah, so here's what I wanted to do. So, you know, the Hall of Fame's coming up. Kevin, you're a wrestling historian. You have great knowledge of the game, of the past. And I wanted
I'm stupid and have very limited good ideas. But anyway.
Well, I wanted you to create your own Hall of Fame. So instead of doing the game of who's going to be inducted to WWE's Hall of Fame or the Observer's, I want you to build your own. So we're not going to do this yearly because that's too much time between these things. So maybe like every 3 months we'll do this. We're going to do 7 names. I want 5 wrestlers, 1 announcer, and then 1 other. So you can do a celebrity, you can do an official, someone behind the scenes, promoter, whatever you want. So those are your categories, okay? So you get 5 wrestlers, active or deceased, however you want to do it. I don't care about the criteria. They could be active today. There's no retirement rule. So 5 wrestlers, One announcer, one other category.
You have to write these down.
I'm writing them down on our little page here. So actually, I'll give you eight. One of the official. So I want a tag team too. All right. So
all right. One of the official decrees for this Hall of Fame is that you are the official writer downer.
I'm writing them down right now. So five singles guys, one tag team, one announcer, and one other.
One other. Okay.
And that can be, like I say, be promoter, celebrity, however you want to do
it. All right. So let's start with the wrestlers first. And five is easier than four for me.
Okay.
And I go in no particular order. This is kind of like my Mount Rushmore plus one. It is Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Lou Thesz, Dusty Rhodes, and The Undertaker.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So those are my, that's my first five.
Okay.
Okay. And then the tag team that I would put in. Now, to me, there are some transformational tag teams.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Freebirds, the Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express, the Road Warriors. But since this is my Hall of Fame, and I want Jim Cornette to be on the dais and to be able to get up and speak, I'm going to put the Midnight Express in. And that is Bobby Eaton and Dennis Condrey. No slight to Stan. He could be there as well, but I put them more in for that.
Okay. And Cornette goes in with them?
Cornette goes in with them.
Okay.
Okay.
So you snuck an extra one in, but I'll let it slide.
Well, he's got to be part of the group.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like if I went with the Freebirds, I'd have to pick three.
I know. Just saying. You found a way around it. I'm not discrediting it.
Okay. But I think the manager is part of that as well.
Okay.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Major part.
And then as far as announcer, obviously the two that come to mind right off the bat is Lee Marshall and Charlie Min. No.
Charlie Min.
Actually, neither of those.
Action Zone. Were you there with Charlie Min?
No, I just heard the funny stories about Charlie Min.
Poor Charlie.
Who, oh, boy, oh, boy. No, Gordon Solie.
Stephanie Wyan.
And Jim Ross, to me, are 1 and 1A, with Lance Russell being right behind them.
Can I tell you a dirty little secret?
Yeah, is it a Lance Russell dirty little secret or a Stephanie Wyan dirty little secret?
I like Stephanie Wyan more than I like Gordon Solie. No, I'm not a Gordon Solie guy. I just can't get into it. I know you grew up with it. It's different. I understand.
Right.
I get the appeal. I just don't like him.
He was the voice of my childhood. He narrated Saturday afternoons at noon, mm-hmm. Championship Wrestling from Florida. He narrated Georgia Championship Wrestling, 6:05 Eastern Saturday on TBS, and from there just other countless hours of shows. I understand, because sometimes he can come across a little dry and a little analytical, but it was the little underhanded shots that he always threw. To me, that was always my favorite part. The indeeds, as the guy would walk away. In fact, that's where the line indeed came from. That Bruce Pritchard, who did the voice of Kai and Tai, that's where he got that from.
There you go.
So anyway, so I'll go with Solie.
Okay.
Only because Gordon is passed away, and so we honor, the great Gordon Solie with being the first announcer inducted into this Hall of Fame, and then other. I think the greatest promoter of our life is the man who is going to go in as the other. And that's Vince McMahon.
Jess McMahon?
Jess. Grandpa Jess. Vince has his detractors, and I certainly have been critical of him. But again, the body of work of what he's done over his entire career and the heights at which he's taken the company, that's it for me right there. He goes in as other. I like other.
All right. There you go. This is the first class of the Kevin Kelly Hall of Fame. Hogan, Flair, Thesz, Rhodes, Taker, Midnight Express, the Condrey and Eaton version with Jim Cornette, Gordon Solie, and Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
I can't go wrong there. That right? There's not. I don't think there's anybody could question
Taker. I think would be the only one. I don't question him being a Hall of Famer at all. But first ballot, first entry. That's where my questioning would come in.
Who did I leave off?
Bruno.
Okay.
I think I mean, this is me personally, so I get your Taker would be like my Savage. I would have Savage in my first.
Okay.
But I don't think you're far off.
I think that's. I think they're both conversational.
Yeah. I think Bruno. Bruno's a little beyond conversational to me.
Boy, oh boy, I thought
Andre.
He was upgraded. Yeah, Andre. You could see that. I could see that. Taker's the greatest gimmick ever.
Who?
No, not who.
T.L. Hopper.
T.L. Hopper. What a class that was. Who? T.L. Hopper, Freddie Joe Floyd,
Alex Porto,
Alex the Pug Porto, and Salvatore Sincere.
I still remember the magazine spread of when they all came in.
Yeah, I know. I helped write it, I think.
They, but I liked the idea, right? So instead of having jobbers, you bring in these guys that know what they're doing. You have them win on Superstars and the other Cindies, and then on the big shows, they put guys over. It made sense.
Right. Nothing wrong with that at all.
I love each and every one of you.
Oh, so much. Sincerely. Me like it to tell all the beautiful people.
I love me some Sal Sincere. That shit was right up my freaking alley at that point. I love those guys, all those gimmicks. The Pug.
Alex the Pug Porto.
I knew him too because I watched GWF when it was on ESPN, so I knew it. Porto, so I knew it when he came in. I was like, oh my god, it's Alex Porto. Why is he a pug? What's that mean? I don't know.
Because he's you know, he's an
tenacious
old, right, tenacious, grab an ankle type of thing, bite your ankles. All right, so what else do we have to do here? How much more time do we have?
We got a few more minutes if you want to BS about anything else. Real Hall of Fame, WWE's Hall of Fame anyway.
Yeah,
real it is. Looks like Rikishi is going to be inducted tonight or announced tonight for induction. So that adds to who we get: Savage, Arnold, and Rikishi.
Who else? Ray Stevens is apparently another name.
Oh yeah, he'll definitely go in since they're in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else that's sorely lacking? Owen Hart.
The Rock. I don't think Owen's going in with Savage. They're not going to do two deceased headline guys.
No.
I mean, I think Taker will be next year in Texas. Punk?
Will CM Punk ever get into the WWE Hall of Fame?
He's in the Kurt Angle class. Ultimate Warrior came back. Come on. Punk never sued the company.
Well, who will get into the Hall of Fame first?
Daniel Bryan or CM Punk? We hate you so much, we'll bring Punk back first.
Yeah, that's a good question.
No, Bryan will get in. What about Demolition? They could go in this year, maybe.
Didn't they sue the company, too?
I think Axe did. They'll do Smash and Crush, we'll slap him in the face.
Oh, gosh. No, he's dead.
Yeah, Crush is dead, right. I think Axe, I mean, that was a long time ago. If he got past Warrior and everything else, I don't think he's holding a grudge with fucking Bill Eadie. Maybe, I don't know.
That was another guy, had a hell of a career.
Yeah, mass superstar.
And before that, he was one of the Mongols.
That's right, yeah.
It's
Mongols, baby!
Mon.
Right here on Nitro. What a big boss.
If you had to pick...
You go, me, Axe, and Pepe in the house, the Mongols.
All right, so we got, of course, WrestleMania coming up.
Yes.
Do you think that a bunch of guys, and we'll have more time to talk about this, do you think a bunch of guys are going to be on pins and needles after WrestleMania this year? As far as getting the pink slip, or...
Yeah, I mean, there's articles out there about how they're low on cash on hand. They've spent a lot on different ventures. I got to think the movie thing's going to be done soon. I don't want to get into it off time. The network is... There's so many ways they could be making more money off this thing. It's just frustrating that they can't get out of their own way. But
it does seem to be just, let's stick stuff up here and not really put a lot of thought to it.
And more on, I watch it. And like every now and then they'll do something that's like, oh, they get it. but they just don't. You know, it's like so close.
Did you agree with the idea of having Paul Heyman do his thoughts on Brian Williams?
I did not see it, but I liked the idea of it.
Right. I didn't watch it either, but because again, it's a whole play on, you know, him being a liar.
Right. Right.
You know, that he would never lie. I'm sure Heyman said.
But yeah,
that.
It's a good use of it. And I don't get why they haven't done another match. They did that one with Rusev when he won the U.S. title from Sheamus, and they haven't done another one since. Was network exclusive after Raw.
I think one of the biggest issues with that is, man, they have some good ideas when it comes to live programming in that company.
Mm-hmm.
Shotgun Saturday Night, on and on and on. You know, this show, we're going to be live every week, and then it just never happens.
But that's one match. You're already there. They're not booking a whole other arena and show. They're there
I think what they have done, they've done two live events afterward, and those are those podcasts.
What if they started showing the dark match just on the network? You know, they always do like
the house?
Yeah. You know, they always show the one dark match after Raw, like the special main event for the people in the arena. Like, why not just start showing
just
that?
Yeah, just for the house.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it.
Check out the, you know, they're there anyway. They film it anyway. They had just released a whole friggin' DVD of them, so they obviously filmed them anyway.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
some
last
guys playing. Haha, nose, man.
Yeah, they did those matches and segments, all the stuff you always hear about. But
some classic Austin, you know, boot, stunner, beer bath. Oh, forget it.
I mean, there's a chance to really do unique things like show house shows, but I know they don't want to do the big budget. So what? Have three or four cameras around the ring and commentate from the studio. You don't have to fly announcers in or whatever. How much can Jason Albert make him? You know, what the fuck his name is now. Send him out there to do the show. Whatever, you know? Tom Phillips.
What would,
all these other
what
guys.
Would Vince what would Vince say to Tom Phillips as far as getting out there? Vince?
Get out there. Call the match. Be like Michael Cole, my son. You went to war and you came home.
Wouldn't it be great if we've got audio proof. I mean, you know, that Sean Coulthard was in that Brian Williams scenario, was never really pinned down in Bosnia. He made his whole resume up. None of that ever really happened to him. His whole career with the WWE. He's a real newsman. He's a real journalist. He was on the front lines in Bosnia.
So you're saying like he's a grifter that killed someone named Michael Cole and then took his life over?
Exactly. Okay. Stole his identity. Man, this would be a great plot.
See, this is the stuff that needs to be on the network. Fan fiction. Michael Cole, grifter days.
I always said that I helped create Michael Cole's heel character by just doing interviews and telling stories about what he really was like in, you know, in real life. And that he was kind of a heel. He's just not, you know, I never said he was a bad person. He loves his wife. He loves his kids. He loves his family. But he's a heel to everybody else. I mean, that's who he really is. He's a nasty person. And that's what they wound up doing at WrestleMania. So, yes, I think this fan fiction idea is great where he's a grifter. And I think somebody should take it, run with it, and put it up on placetobenation.com.
Okay, there you go. I know a few people that would do it. So, look at you, so, Glenn Butler.
There you go. See, Glenn, you've now been publicly called out.
Glenn Butler, right, by the way, I didn't get to plug it earlier, doing all of reliving Star Trek Deep Space Nine episode by episode. So if you're a fan of that, check it out. Must see.
Holy mackerel. All right, let's put a wrap on this thing because we've had so much show here tonight. I want to thank B. Brian Blair, our special guest, CauliflowerAlleyClub.org for all the information on the 2015 reunion, which is in the month of April. Go check that out. And in a couple of weeks, we'll have another guest. We're working on something good for Ring of Honor. I got to pin these Young Bucks down, these two scalawags, these two gallivants, the little scamps that they are. Hopefully we get the Young Bucks on. We'll do that maybe in a couple of weeks. And if not them, then somebody else that'll be really good. I don't know if we could top the Bucks, but we'll do our best. Anyway, that's it. Thanks so much for listening, as always. And good stuff on the horizon with the Kevin Kelly Show. Thanks for tuning in. Spread the word. And thanks, JR, for everything. We'll see you all in a couple of weeks on the Kevin Kelly Show. Here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com.
What a bunch of fuck-ass nonsense. Up to get ready to rig the thing I wore for the ass motorboating.
tree fell on Greg Abbott.
You know, I'm only 50 now and the phone could ring at any time.
Basically, because she had Tommy John and had the strong arm, she gave these awesome hand jobs that he was, like, obsessed with.
This honey is from Hazel's Honey Hut.
Will you do my wife and I the honor of purchasing
oh,
you?
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't get butt hurt.
Bye.